constructive question or something to say, but apparently did not. So we're going to go ahead and get into our 9 o'clock study for this evening. I'm going to begin tonight a three-part series of studies on the second coming of Jesus Christ, and I have titled this series of studies, Portraits of the Second Coming. And we're going to begin tonight this first lesson in the book of Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 7. Now, we'll ask you to please hold your questions until we have finished. Once we have finished the study, then we'll be glad to take any questions or comments that you have in relation to the lesson. And once we've finished those, then we'll be glad to throw out the time for some open discussion of whatever it is that you might wish to talk about. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1, verse number 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall have everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. We'll stop right there. Now, in the passage tonight, we have a verse where the world's call about the second coming of Jesus Christ to the earth. And, of course, this is not, I trust that most of you, you have that in your understanding and know that already, that the rapture is the event that will bring to a close the dispensation of the grace of God. And I see somebody says I'm breaking up. How's the sound coming through? Good news, is the sound coming through all right? Sounds better now? Okay. The rapture is the event that will bring to a close the dispensation of the grace of God. And the event that the Apostle Paul is describing is the event of the second coming back to the earth. And, of course, there is a great deal of events that will take place between the time of the rapture, which brings to a close the dispensation of grace, and the second coming. You have the course of the tribulation, the 70th week of Daniel, in between these two events. So this is the event of the second coming back to the earth that the Apostle Paul is talking about in the verses. And he says, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Now, of course, the reference verse for that is the book of Revelation, chapter number 19. Revelation, chapter number 19, if you'll turn back there. Revelation, chapter number 19, and verse number 11. I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. So this is the verse to which the Apostle Paul, when he talks about Christ is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, this is the same event which John describes in Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 and 15. Christ comes riding out of heaven on a white horse, and his eyes are a flame of fire. There is no mercy in these eyes. These are eyes of judgment. And he's coming to judge and to make war. And verse number 14 says, the armies that follow him. So there's the angels that are revealed with him that the Apostle Paul refers to. And verse 15 says, out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. And of course, that sharp sword is the Word of God, the written Word that Jesus Christ is going to speak. And certain events are going to take place when he speaks the Word. that with it he should smite the nations, and he should rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. So the Lord Jesus, the apostle says, is going to be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. And then he says he's coming in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now those that know not God are, of course, the unsaved. They're the ones that have rejected the gospel and the opportunity of salvation that God has given to them. The entire course of the tribulation, it is a time specifically of Jacob's trouble, but also from Paul's perspective as the apostle of Jesus Christ and the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles in the dispensation of the grace of God, as he is sending out his salvation to the Gentiles in view of that gracious offer by God to the nations in this age, an offer of reconciliation, an offer of salvation. In view of that, those who reject that message, those who are not saved, they're going into this time of tribulation. And it is going to be a time of Jacob's trouble in particular, but also all the nations and all the world, the Gentiles as well as Israel, is going into this time, and they know not God, and they've obeyed not the gospel. And folks, the great culmination and the great final event of that time of tribulation is going to be the second coming of Jesus Christ. And when he comes, he's coming in wrath and judgment. He's coming, the verse says, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, to understand that issue of obeying the gospel, if you look back to the book of Romans in chapter number 16, Romans chapter number 16, you'll find a passage there that'll tell you how to obey the gospel. Romans chapter 16, verse number 25, the Apostle Paul said, "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith." So that is the issue for men to come and obey the gospel, is to come and to believe, to place their faith in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, shed at Calvary as a complete and total payment of their sin debt. Now see that the verse has not been posted. Are y'all out there? Can y'all hear me? Are we coming through tonight? Okay. All right. I didn't see the verse up there, so just checking. Want to make sure I hadn't lost you. So that's how you obey the gospel. It's not an issue of obeying the commandments. It's not an issue of do's and don'ts that you're supposed to keep. But it's an issue of the obedience of faith. Now that's the thing that the gospel calls upon for men to do in order to be saved, is to believe that Christ has died for their sins, was buried, and rose again the third day, and trust Him exclusively in His work at Calvary, in His death, burial, and resurrection, to have settled the issue of their sin between themselves and God, and their only hope, their only confidence, their only trust of heaven is Christ and His work on their behalf. And so men are called upon to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So that's how men obey the gospel. And those who reject the gospel, Jesus Christ is coming back in flaming fire, and He's going to take vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The next verse says, "Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction." Now, I recall last week we had a man come in the room, and he asked the question, will a God of love send men into hell for eternity? Well, yes, He would. That God of love, dear friend, He loved this world, and He sent His Son into this world to die on a cross. And folks, if He sent His Son into this world to die at Calvary, and to die for man's sin, and to give Himself, and to die in their place, and to pay fully their sin debt, and if He gave His Son to die, His dearest, precious Son, the only one that He could look at and say, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased, hear ye Him." If He gave His Son to die at Calvary, don't you think for a minute that He won't send men into the second death for eternity if they reject the wonderful, gracious, loving thing that He did for them at Calvary on that cross. He will. And the verses say that He will. God, dear friend, is going to take vengeance, and He is going to punish with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. That's what the second death is. It's eternal separation from God in the lake of fire forever and ever. And folks, that is a terrible, terrible judgment. It is a terrible judgment. But it is the truth of God's Word. And I tell you, folks, as believers, when we look at these kind of things, that ought to stir us that we have a message. We have a message that'll save men's souls from that fate. And God help us to be faithful with that message. Now, what I want to talk to you about tonight, and if you were here back when we did our series of studies through the book of Joel, some of what I'm going to go over tonight, we went over. Because there was a passage in the book of Joel that says this, of Christ not coming in human fire. But there's a most important in the message about that issue. If you were in Florida in January, hopefully most of you weren't, but I was asked to bring a message. How's the sound coming through? Are we breaking up? Is it about breaking up? Good again? Better now? Back to normal? Okay. It must be going in and out a little bit. I was asked to bring a message on the second coming, and the title of that message was Far in the Sky. So we're going to talk about that tonight, and I'm going to talk about some things in this message tonight that I didn't discuss when we went through and talked about this some in our series of studies that we did in the book of Joel. So this will be some new ground that we'll go over, a little bit of stuff that we already have talked about, but some new ground that we've not covered before in the studies here on Pal Talk. So Christ is going to come back in flaming fire. Now, if you'll turn back to the book of Jeremiah, and in Jeremiah, we're going to look in chapter number 49 and chapter number 50 of the book of Jeremiah. And there we're going to find some passages that are going to help us to understand this issue of Jesus Christ coming in flaming fire and taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Jeremiah, in chapter number 49, and verse number 17, we'll start reading there. He says, "Also Edom shall be a desolation. Everyone that goeth by it shall be astonished and shall hiss at all the plagues thereof. As in the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah and the neighbor cities thereof, saith the Lord, no man shall abide there, neither shall a son of man dwell in it." Now you see in that passage the fact that he's talking about Edom. Now Edom was the land that lays sort of, I guess would be the best direction to say, sort of to the south, southeast of where Jerusalem is. And it's the land where the descendants of Esau settled and dwelled. And in this passage it says that Edom is going to be made a desolation. And notice how it's going to be made a desolation. Verse number 18 says, "As in the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, and the neighbor cities thereof, saith the Lord, no man shall abide there, neither shall a son of man dwell in it." Now, that passage gives you a key to understand the issue of the flame and fire that Paul talks about there in Thessalonians. That flame and fire in this passage is going to be, he says in Jeremiah, like or as in the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, we've talked about this different times. I've mentioned it to you and pointed out some various passages. There are several passages in the Word of God that in order to understand future events, it points you back to events that have happened already in the past. And it says, as it was. For example, when Jesus Christ, there in the book of Matthew, chapter number 25, said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the coming of the Son of Man. So if you want to know what kind of days it's going to be when Jesus Christ returns in His second coming back to the earth, He says, look back to the days of Noah. And so in these passages here, if we want to understand this issue of the fire in the sky and the fire that's going to come in which Jesus Christ is going to come and use as a weapon of destruction and a weapon and a means of punishing those that are sinners, well, this passage in Jeremiah helps us to understand that it's going to be just like God did when He overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. Now look in Jeremiah chapter 50, and you'll find another passage there. Jeremiah chapter 50. And this is a passage that's talking about Babylon. And if you'll look back up in verse number 35, Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 35, a sword is upon the Chaldeans, saith the Lord, and upon the inhabitants of Babylon, and upon her princes, and upon her wise men. And if you go on down through the passage, get down to verse number 40, it says, as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah and the neighbor cities thereof, saith the Lord, so shall no man abide there, neither shall any son of man dwell therein. So, these verses have given us an event in the past to look back to in order to understand some things that are going to happen and going to go on in the future. So let's go back just a minute to the book of Genesis. Chapter number 19. Genesis chapter number 19. Genesis chapter number 19. And we'll start reading in verse number 22. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou come thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. Now that's how God overthrew those cities. Verse 25 says, He overthrew those cities and all the plain and the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. And He did that by raining fire and brimstone down upon those cities. And folks, just like you go out and you see it rain down out of the sky, fire and brimstone rained down out of the sky, just like you see water rain down, or you see snow come or hail come or something of that nature, fire and brimstone is what rained down out of the sky on the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now God is going to do that when He comes back in His second coming. Fire and brimstone is going to rain down out of the sky on various locations on the earth. Down in Edom, fire and brimstone is going to rain down out of the sky. In Babylon, fire and brimstone is going to rain down out of the sky. Come back to the book of Revelation, if you will. Revelation chapter number 18. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I did a study with you on the identification of the great whore in chapter 17 of the book of Revelation. And we went over some verses and talked about the fact that the great city, which Revelation chapter 17 is talking about, is the city of Babylon. And we saw from the verses that the city of Babylon is at some point in the future, it's going to be rebuilt, and it's going to become the headquarters of the religion of the Antichrist in the time of the tribulation. And in Revelation chapter 18, you're going to see the actual destruction of that city. In 17, you're seeing the destruction of that religious system of the city. But in 18, you're seeing the destruction of the actual city itself. And notice what you see here in the book of Revelation, chapter number 18, verse number 2. He cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Now as you go on down through the passage, verse number 7, we'll pick it up again there. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I set a queen and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, notice, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. Now, this passage that we read back in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 50, which talks about that as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, that's the way he's going to overthrow Babylon. Well, here's the fulfillment of it in the book of Revelation, chapter number 18, verse number 8. And if you'll look on down there in verse number 10, it says, talks about these kings and so forth. It says, they're standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour is thy judgment come. Now, the judgment is going to come swiftly, very quick, upon this city of Babylon at the time of the second coming. And you want to tell me by raining fire and brimstone on it? Come back to the book of Lamentations, chapter number 4, verse number 6. Lamentations. The book of Lamentations, chapter 4, verse number 6. Lamentations chapter 4, verse number 6. Notice what it says. For the punishment of the iniquity of the daughter of my people is greater than the punishment of the sin of Sodom that was overthrown as in a moment, and no hands stayed on her. Notice that verse says that Sodom, the punishment of Sodom that was overthrown, says as in a moment. Now, a moment's pretty fast, ain't it? Is there another verse in the Bible where that word moment's used? Yeah, you know the verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51, the Apostle Paul said, Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Now, a moment, folks, is fast. And God very quickly, He made short work, He made a speedy riddance. And we'll see a verse here tonight if we get to it. We'll see a verse here that talks about how God's going to make a speedy riddance of His enemies. And just like He made a speedy riddance of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by raining fire and brimstone down on them out of the sky, He's going to make a speedy riddance of Babylon at the second coming, and Edom, and there's some other locations as well. Be a good study, just look up Sodom and Gomorrah. And that's all I did one day, just sat down and looked up Sodom and Gomorrah, every place where it talked about it, and lo and behold, I discovered just what I'm sharing with you here tonight. And you'll find there are several places that God's going to destroy, that He mentions specifically that He's going to destroy, just like He did Sodom and Gomorrah. He's going to rain fire and brimstone down on them, and it's going to be just in a moment, just like that. And not going to take God long to destroy them. Now, I'll tell you something, folks. I've heard people down through the years look at the stuff in the book of Revelation, and they'll talk about various passages in Revelation, and they'll talk about those verses over there in Peter about the heavens passing away with a great noise and the elements melting with fervent heat. And they'll talk about that, and they say, well, you know, that couldn't be fulfilled until man figured out how to make a nuclear bomb. Well, I'll tell you something, folks, that's just nonsense. I don't mean to be unkind, but that's just nonsense. God took care of Sodom and Gomorrah, that verse said in Lamentations, in a moment, by raining fire and brimstone down on them. And he's going to take care of Babylon by raining fire and brimstone down on them. And God, dear friend, doesn't have to have man to make a nuclear bomb in order for those verses to be fulfilled. And I've heard people say, well, you know, the second coming couldn't happen until nuclear bombs had been developed by man. That's just silly nonsense. God doesn't need none of man's stuff in order to fulfill His Word. And I hope that just looking at these few little verses here tonight would demonstrate that very clearly. So there's going to be fire in the sky. Christ is coming back in flaming fire, and He's going to take vengeance. Now we go and look at some other verses that talk about that flaming fire. Come back to the book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter number 22. 2 Samuel chapter 22. And we'll start reading here in verse number 3. Well, verse 4. We'll start at verse 4. Now this psalm, this is a song of David. And you'll find this very passage, it's in 2 Samuel 22, you'll find it repeated over in the book of Psalms two or three different times. This very passage is in the book of Psalms. And in the passage here, it's prophetically a passage that's going to be the song of the believing remnant is delivered from the Antichrist. Now that's where it fits prophetically. He says in verse 4, I'll call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from mine enemies. When the waves of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid, the sorrows of hell compassed me about, the snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, and He did hear my voice, and out of His temple, and my cry did enter into His ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of heaven moved and shook because He was wroth. I mean, folks, when God gets angry and when God gets wroth and when He's mad, and folks, when He comes back in the second coming, He's coming back in a state of righteous indignation. He's coming to judge and make war. And when He comes, as this passage describes, He says the heavens is going to shake, the foundations of the earth is going to be moved. He says, there went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. Now, you know what that word kennel means. I heat my house with a wood stove. And you know what kindling is. That's the little small pieces of wood that you use when you first start the fire. And he talks about coals. He says that fire that goes out of his mouth, and that's the Word of God, folks. Your Bible is in the book of Revelation. It's called the sword that proceeds out of his mouth. And here, when he talks about the fire going out of his mouth, he's talking about the written Word. And your Bible is likened to a sword in some verses and other passages. It's likened to a burning fire. And when he talks about this fire that goes out of his mouth, Jesus Christ is going to speak the Word. And when he does, the coals are going to be kindled. That fire and brimstone is going to be kindled, and it's going to begin to fall out of the sky. It says, he bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. He rode upon a cherub and did fly, and he was seen upon the wings of the wind. And he made darkness pavilions round about him, dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. Through the brightness before him were coals of fire kindled. I mean, he's getting the fire hot. And you know, there in the book of Daniel, when it talked about that furnace being heated up seven times hotter, and the men that went over and throwed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into it, it killed them because it was so hot. You know, folks, heat can kill you. And when Jesus Christ comes, folks, this world's going to experience a flame and a fire. That flame and fire that He comes in, it's going to be a fire so hot they've never seen one that hot before. And He's going to kindle it. He's going to begin to get it built up, and it's going to be a fire so hot, the likes of which the world's never experienced when He comes. So He's getting the coals of fire kindled. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered His voice. He sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning and discomfited them, and the channels of the sea appeared. The foundations of the world were discovered at the rebuking of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils. And on we could go, just keep on reading through the passage. But what I wanted you to see there is that fire, that's the Word of God, folks. He's going to speak the Word, and the fire is going to be kindled, and the coals of fire are going to be kindled, and they're going to begin to be made hot. And it's going to be hotter than any fire that the world's ever known or ever seen or ever experienced. Look at some verses again. Come back to the book of Zephaniah. The book of Zephaniah. And that's a couple of books there in front of Zechariah. Zephaniah chapter 1. Zephaniah chapter number 1. We'll start in verse number 14. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man, shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. I'll bring distress upon men, and they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord, and their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as the dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them to the day of the Lord's wrath, to be part of the fire of his jealousy, for he shall be made haste, speed ridden, and all them that dwell. Now there's the verse I was thinking of when I said that a moment ago. He's going to make a speedy riddance. And, you know, folks, fire is a very destructive power. And as I said, that fire, he's going to kindle it. And it's going to be hotter than any fire that mankind has ever seen or ever experienced before. And he'll make a speedy riddance. And he will devour the land with the fire of his jealousy. Look in the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms. Well, while you're going to Psalms, turn to the book of Nahum. You all are out there, ain't you? Make sure you're there. Didn't see the verse didn't go up from Zephaniah. Yeah, okay. All right, just want to make sure you're there. Nahum. The book of Nahum, chapter number 1. And this verse is just, it's just something else. Nahum chapter 1, verse number 2, God is jealous, and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. Now, I'll tell you something. God has got, he's got wrath reserved and built up. You know, we have, when we're fixing to go to war over there with Iraq, We're going to call on our reserves of various bombs and ammunition, you know, the stuff we've got stockpiled up. Well, that verse there tells me that God's got wrath stockpiled up. I mean, he's got a treasure house and a storehouse of wrath, and he's got it reserved for his enemies. And folks, I told you time and again that the course of that tribulation is it begins and it intensifies as it goes through. And when you get into the end of that 70th week, when Jesus Christ returns and his second coming, it's going to be the great culmination of his wrath and his judgment. And folks, the world is going to experience the wrath of God, the verse in Revelation says, poured out without mixture. And this is just another way here in this passage in Nahum of talking about he reserveth wrath. I mean, he's got wrath built up, laid up in store and reserved and held back for his enemies. Wrath such as like the world has never experienced before. And I tell you, this is just another one of those verses that talk about it. He says, as he goes on down through the passage, look in verse 5, the mountains quake in him and the hills melt, and the earth is burned at his presence, yea, the world and all that dwell therein. Now I want you to pay attention to that the mountains quake, it says the hills melt, the earth is burned at the presence of the Lord. And what we're going to see is that the reason that it's burned at His presence is that as He comes, there's going to be a flaming fire that's going to engulf and surround Him, and wherever He goes, the intensity of that flame and the intensity of that fire is so hot that the hills are going to melt and the earth is going to be burned at His presence. I'll tell you something, folks, you've never seen a fire that hot. You've never known a flame, a fire that's that hot that it would make the hills melt and the earth be burned at His presence. And look at this verse down in number 10. He says, "For while they," talking about His enemies, "for while they be folded together as thorns, and while they are drunken as drunkards, they shall be devoured as stubble, fully dry." I mean, you talk about, folks, the Bible, it's the most fascinating book that you ever will put in your hands. And the way it can paint a picture for you. That's why I wanted to call this series of studies Portraits of the Second Coming. I just was thrilled as I studied about this subject and just to see the picture that the verses paint. There he talks about they're folding together, the enemies of God, they're folding together as thorns. They're just like a bunch of dry briars that you go out and you cut down and they're all folded together. And you know, that's the little stuff that you like to maybe start a fire with if you're out somewhere. And he says they'll be devoured as stubble, fully dry. I mean, they're just dry and brittle, and when you set a match to it, I mean, up it goes. And the Lord Jesus Christ is just gonna fold His enemies up together, just gonna fold them up there in a little wad, and He's just gonna set them on fire and burn them up to a fare thee well. It's an awful thing. But what a picture that is. What a picture that is. They're just like thorns folded up and like stubble fully dry. Look in the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms, we'll look in chapter 50. And Psalm chapter 50 and Psalm chapter 97. Psalm chapter 50, verse number 3. Psalm 50, verse 3. "Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour, and it shall be very tempestuous round about Him." So that fire just encircles Him. It's round about Him. He's just in the center of it, and out from Him is a fire that is tempestuous round about Him. "He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth that He may judge His people. Gather my saints together unto me, those who have made a covenant with me with sacrifice, and the heavens shall declare His righteousness, for God is judge Himself." So, in this passage, he talks about the issue of Him coming and a fire devouring before Him and being tempestuous round about Him. It just encircles Him. And everywhere He goes, the intensity of that fire is going to make the ground melt. Look in Psalm 97. Psalm chapter 97, verse number 2. "Clouds and darkness are round about Him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of His throne. A fire goeth before Him and burneth up His enemies round about. His lightnings enlighteth the world. The earth saw and trembled. The hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth." Now, when that fire and brimstone that rains down out of the skies, as it did in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, and that's how God's going to begin this, and that's how He's coming in this flaming fire. When that fire strikes the land, and when He comes and wherever He goes in this flaming fire, it's going to melt the ground. Now, I've never seen a fire that hot that would actually burn, make the ground, make dirt burn. And, you know, volcanoes and things, they say that's molten rock. But that ain't the ground burning. We're talking about something that's even hotter than that. God has those coals of fire, and He's kindled them. And they're so hot that the ground actually burns. come back to the book of Isaiah, chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30. Now remember a moment ago I told you about Edom. And we're going to see another passage here. Isaiah chapter 30, verse number 27. We'll start there. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 27. Behold, the name of the Lord cometh from far, burning with his anger, and the burden thereof is heavy. His lips are full of indignation, and his tongue as a devouring fire. See, there's that, again that issue of his lips being full of indignation. He speaks the word, folks, the sword and the fire that proceeds out of his mouth, the written word, and then there are actions, things begin to happen. His breath as an overflowing stream shall reach to the midst of the neck to sift the nations with a sieve of vanity. There shall be a bridle in the jaws of the people causing them to err. You shall have, skip on down to verse 30. The Lord shall cause his glorious voice to be heard and shall show the lightning down of his arm. With the indignation of his anger, and with the flame of the devouring fire, with scattering and tempest and hailstones. And by the way, you know, when the hailstones fell back there in Egypt, it said they were fiery hailstones. They were hot. He says, for through the voice of the Lord shall the Assyrian be beaten down with smoke of the rod. The Assyrian is the Antichrist. In every place with rounded with it. For Tophet, it is for the king, it is prepared. Now Tophet, that word means the place of fire. It's a place of burning. And does that verse remind you of any other verse in your Bible? Tophet is ordained of old, yea, for the king it's prepared. Well, that ought to remind you of Matthew chapter 25, verse number 41, if you'll go ahead and post it there, Mr. Saint. Matthew 25:41. You remember the Lord Jesus Christ said that hell was a place that was prepared for the devil and his angels. He says, Tophet is ordained of old, yea, for the king is prepared. Folks, he's talking about hell. And he's talking about the place where hell is located. Notice he says, he hath made it deep and large. He's talking about a pit. And that's what Isaiah chapter 14, verse 15 says about Satan and the Antichrist. As Satan said that he would ascend into the heights of the clouds and so forth, and yet God said in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 15, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. And he's talking about a pit here, folks. So he's made it deep and large, the pile thereof is fire and much wood, the breath of the Lord like a stream of brimstone doth kindle it. I mean, God speaks the word, and a stream of brimstone. It kindled up that thing, kindled up Tophet, kindled up hell, and it's hot. And folks, what we're seeing here in these verses is that fire in the sky is going to come down to this earth, and when it comes to the earth, what we're going to find out here in these next few verses is that fire is going to strike the earth over there in the land of Edom, and it's going to burn right down into hell and open up hell. And God's enemies and those that are sinners and those that know not God, He's coming back in flaming fire, and He's going to take vengeance on them. And that fire not only is going to take their physical life, but it's going to take them right down into hell. And they're going to burn right down into hell. And He's going to punish them with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Look in Isaiah chapter 34. Isaiah chapter 34. Isaiah chapter 34, verse number 5. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Idumea. Now, Idumea is just another term for Edom. And upon the people of my curse to judgment. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It's made fat with fatness, and with the blood of lambs and goats, with the fat of the kidneys of rams. For the Lord hath a sacrifice in Bozrah, and a great slaughter in the land of Idumea. And the unicorn shall come down with them, and the bullocks with the bulls, and their land shall be soaked with blood, and their dust made fat with fatness. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance, and the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion. Now notice carefully verse 9. The streams thereof shall be turned into pitch, and the dust thereof into brimstone, and the land thereof shall become burning pitch. Now, pitch gets on fire, and it burns. And that fire that rains out of the sky, that fire and brimstone, just like in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, when it comes over there in the land of Edom, and it's when it comes down over there, it's going to turn that land into, the streams of it, into pitch, and it's just going to turn it into a great big burning pit, just like these verses are talking about. Verse 10 said, it shall not be quenched night nor day. Does that remind you of anything? Idumea, songbird, is another word for Edom. Just another term by which Edom is known. He says it's not quenched night nor day. That ought to remind you of Mark chapter 9, verse 44. In Mark 9, 44, Jesus Christ began to warn about hell. He said hell's a place where the fire is not quenched and their worm dieth not. He says, the smoke thereof shall go up forever. From generation to generation it shall lie waste. That will remind you of Revelation chapter 14, verse number 11. It's sort of to the southeast of Jerusalem, songbird. If you've got maps in the back of your Bible, probably you should be able to look it up there and see where Edom is located. But anyhow, that second part of that verse, that's Revelation 14:11, where it talks about the fate of those who are worshipers of the Antichrist, that the smoke of their torment is going to send up forever and ever. Folks, what these verses are doing for you, they're locating hell. Hell is located in the heart and the center of the earth, and what it's doing is it's locating the place where if you were going to travel to hell, where you'd need to go to in order to travel to get there. Now, when I start from where I live, if I want to go to Knoxville or Nashville or something, you know, I don't just start out and go in just any old helter-skelter direction. There's a certain road I've got to go, a certain direction I have to get on in order to wind up where I want to be. And heaven's the same way. The third heaven, you don't just start out in any direction you want to go and get to the third heaven. There's a certain direction, a certain place, a certain path. And the Bible talks about over there in the book of Matthew chapter 16, Jesus said, on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now folks, hell has gates, and there's a way that leads to it. When that verse says over there that broad is the way, and so forth, there's a way that leads to hell. It's located in the heart of the earth, and there's a way that leads to it. And what these verses are telling you is the location of the passageway that leads to hell. It's right over there in the land of Edom. And in that day of His second coming, that fire is going to burn right down into hell. It's going to come out of the sky. It's going to burn the earth over there in Edom and burn right down into hell and open it up. Look back in the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 32. Deuteronomy, chapter 32. Deuteronomy, chapter 32. And we'll notice verse 22. He says, for a fire is kindled in mine anger, and shall burn unto the lowest hell. That fire, folks, is going to start out in heaven, going to rain down on this earth. Rain down, just like it did on Sodom and Gomorrah, these verses that we've already seen. That fire is going to strike the earth, And in certain locations, and in that certain location, I'm sorry, I should say, in Edom, when it strikes the earth over there, it's going to burn, it's going to melt those hills and melt the earth right there and melt right down into hell. A fire is kindled in mine anger and shall burn unto the lowest hell and shall consume the earth with her increase and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. I'll tell you something, folks. That's a frightening thing to look at and to see a picture such as this. And you've never seen a fire that hot. I've burned a many of a brush pile, and you can get up so, you know, sometimes you get a brush pile that once real dry and set that thing on fire, and you know, you can just get so close to them. Sometimes maybe the wind will shift direction, all of a sudden that heat off that thing, if you're too close, it'll hit you, and just the heat, the fire don't even have to touch you, just the heat off of it will burn you. We're talking about something that's a whole lot hotter than that. An intensity the likes of which you and I have never seen a fire this hot that it actually will melt and burn the ground, burn the dirt. And it's going to burn right down to hell. And when it burns right down into hell, it's going to open up hell so it can be seen from the surface. Come back to the book of Isaiah, chapter 66. Isaiah, chapter 66. Chapter 66, verse number 23. We'll start reading there. This is a passage, and it finds its fulfillment in the millennial reign and the kingdom reign of Christ, when Christ returns back to the earth and he sets up his kingdom and begins that 1,000-year reign. During the course of that 1,000 years, right over there in Edom, where that fire burned out that passageway that leads right down into hell, here he says in Isaiah chapter 66, verse number 23, "It shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh." They're going to look. In that day, you'll be able to go right over to the pit and just look right down into that deep, large pit of hell and see the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, those that know not God, those that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming, Paul said in the verse we started with tonight, in flaming fire, and he's going to take vengeance. And that vengeance is going to take them right down into hell, where the verse says, "Their worm shall not die." That's a term that the Bible uses to describe a soul of man that is abandoned by God. That's a soul that is given up to eternal judgment by God. That's the best way I know to put into words to describe to you what that word and that term means when it says that. It says their worm. He's talking about their souls and what sin has done to their souls. It's made them a worm. And it says, "Their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they'll be an abhorrent unto all flesh." So, that fire in the sky is going to be the fire in the land, and then it's going to be the fire, you've heard that old expression about fire in the hole. Well, there's the hole. It's the pit of hell, folks. So it is going to come, as we've seen tonight in the study, just like it did on Sodom and Gomorrah, going to rain fire and brimstone right down out of the sky. And when Jesus Christ comes, he will be encircled and engulfed by a flame of such intensity that anywhere that he goes, that flame is going to melt the ground, going to make the ground melt, going to burn dirt, it's so hot. And it's going to, over there in the land of Edom, when he passes through there, and whenever that fire strikes that land, it's just going to set that land on fire over there in that place, and just going to burn it up and burn it right down into hell. And there's where his enemies are going to burn for eternity when hell is then cast finally into the lake of fire at the great white throne judgment, but they're going to burn for eternity and be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. I'll tell you something, folks. A study like this ought to be a sobering thing to you and me that are saved. First, it ought to make us thank God that we're saved, that we know the Lord Jesus Christ and have the joy of sins forgiven. What a joy it is. I'll tell you, there's a consequence to being a sinner, folks. There's a consequence to being a sinner, an eternal consequence, and that is to be punished by God Almighty for eternity, to have vengeance, God to take vengeance on you forever and ever in the lake of fire. He gave His Son to die for us because He loved us. And men are not going to get anything, that they're not going to get nothing that they didn't want. There won't be one person in hell that didn't choose to be there. There's not going to be anybody there that was made to go there. Everybody's going to be there because that's what they chose. They refused His Son, the gracious offer that God made through Calvary. But friend of mine, what a study like tonight ought to do for you and me that's saved is make us realize the seriousness of what it is to be a believer. And make us realize the great responsibility that God has given to us. God has given us a message that's not just a life, it's a soul-saving message. You know, the Lord said, don't just fear them that can kill the body. You know, you could save a man's life, and that's a wonderful thing. Men risk their life to save other men's lives. But when they saved it, what did they really save? They saved something that you really can't save. You really can't save a man's life. But you can save his soul. God give us a soul-saving message. And Jesus said, don't fear him that can just kill the body. You know, if a man was going to kill us, we'd be afraid of that. We're afraid of that as human beings. But the Lord said, fear him that can destroy both soul and body in hell. And folks, God's given us a message that'll save men from that fate. God's given us a message that'll save them from his wrath and judgment and being punished. God help us, there are people that have lived and died in the history of the world, in the history of the dispensation of the grace of God, that have never heard that glorious, wonderful message. And even sadder still, I wonder sometimes, are there people that you and me come in contact with day after day after day, and they've never heard from our mouth, or they've never had from our hand, a track, a message, something, anything, that would tell them the good, wonderful news of Calvary, that would warn them to flee from the wrath to come? Yeah, that's even sadder still. That's even sadder still. God has given us a message, and we're ambassadors. May we be faithful ambassadors with God's word that He's committed to us. I hope tonight that the study would put a desire in our heart. God help us that we not be able to study over something like this without it putting in our heart a desire to see men get saved. To remember that the people that we know, some of us it's our family members, some of us it's a friend, it's somebody we... God help us to remember that that person is going to be in hell for eternity. The only thing that will save them is the message we know. The only way they'll know it is if we tell them. I hope we'll do that. You know, in our song books here at home, there's a, don't remember the page, but on the page, there are two songs on that one page. And on the bottom of it, it's an old song, In the Sweet By and By. But at the top of the page is a song called You Never Mentioned Him to Me. God help us, friend, that that not be true of us. That we not fail to mention to people. No, we can't, it's impossible. We can't talk to every person that we ever come in contact with. We wouldn't be able to work or do our jobs to feed our families. But you understand, it's those people that we see day after day, just that we meet all the time in our lives, that needs to hear the message from us. If we'd all be faithful just in telling them people, that's all God asks us to do as ambassadors anyhow. Just be faithful. There are men that and women that have dedicated their lives to go other places, and we reach out in the regions beyond by supporting missionaries so they can go and preach in other places. But God help us, friend, not to forget our own personal witness and testimony ministry. I pray we won't. All right. We're talking about tonight.